Right now, though, artist and writer Lily Duvall's latest book tells the stories of the insects of Aotearoa New Zealand in the hopes of changing attitudes towards them. It begins with a confession. She's not a lifelong insect lover herself. In fact, she had to overcome a fear of bugs in her 20s. Lily holds a Master of Arts exploring cultural entomology, dissecting how we talk about it and represent insects in culture. And, as she calls it, their PR problem. Six-Legged Ghosts pays homage to the many living bugs, but also the many that have quietly gone extinct, and is illustrated with her own watercolour paintings. She's a researcher for a range of conservation organisations and wants people to feel just as passionate about bugs as they do about animals and plants. Lily Duvall, good morning to you.
Got it, Catherine.
They certainly do have a PR problem with some people, don't they? And give us a little insight into your own experience. For some people, there really is an issue, feeling frightened by them or just sort of icked by them. Lily, when did your attitude start to change?
Yeah, I think it was quite a slow conversion for me, really. I started growing my own food, or trying to grow some of my own food, in my early 20s. And we were trying to do things organically, and as any gardener will know, you can't really avoid creepy crawlies, bugs, if you're trying to grow organic food. So I had to become a little bit more comfortable then. I took a bit more of an active step in my mid-20s and went on a few long, 5-week-long walks in the Australian outback. So that was a kind of exposure therapy experience, which actually helped a lot, as you'll appreciate. A lot of bugs over there can actually do you some serious harm.
So was that kind of deliberate? Was that done with an intent?
It was a byproduct. But I was going for other reasons. But, you know, I was quite scared on my way over there. I started out sleeping in a tent so that I could control my environment a bit more, and ended up in a swag like everyone else. So, yeah, there was a bit of a progression. And then, yeah, the book actually started more as an academic exercise, trying to understand why we don't care about insects, and myself included. And I just, over the time I spent researching them, came to love them more and more. So, yeah, it was a really long, decades-long progression, really.
Was it when you began painting that you began to see them in a different light? What drew you towards painting them in the first place?
Yeah, I found myself in Senegal trying to study French, and I realised that I didn't want to study French, and I was quite homesick, and so I started this threatened species art project. I was quite moved. There was a lot of data coming out at that time around the biodiversity crisis in Aotearoa, and I was really moved by the sheer number of species that were being quoted as under threat, and so I thought I'll try and do this art project that will overwhelm people with kind of like a call to arms for conservation. And I really thought, as I think a lot of New Zealanders do, that most of the species on that list would be birds, because we hear a lot about the birds under threat. But actually, in the end, the list is dominated by invertebrates. And a lot of these species didn't have common names. And so I started to dive more and more into those. And I found it quite fascinating to paint them and try and imagine the worlds that they live in. They live on such a different scale to us. So it was quite interesting to explore that through the paintings.
Insects have long been a subject of art, but the way we portray them and by whom has certainly evolved. What are some of the earlier references to insects in art?
Yeah, I love talking about insects in art. They seem to emerge, at least in the Western tradition, in medieval manuscripts. They were sort of marginalia, decorative borders, and they jumped into the center of the page in the early 1500s with a really famous painting by a German painter of a stag beetle. And from he seems to have inspired a lot of people. So there were a lot of replica stag beetles emerging, but also other insects from that time. And I think through the Enlightenment, insects were an object of fascination for scholars of that time. And they were portrayed in sort of lifelike ways and often on the plants that they were found on. But as you move into the 19th century, and again, this is in the Western tradition, because I wouldn't want to speak for the, depictions throughout the world. But as you go into the 19th century, they start becoming kind of taxonomic. So they're kind of symmetrical. There's a beauty to it for sure in terms of their incredible symmetry and their patterning and their colors. But for me, they started to lose a little bit of the life. And I think we still see that a lot today. You'll find a lot of bug posters where they're kind of like a pinned drawer in a museum almost aesthetic. So I really wanted to break away from that. I did do a couple of paintings like that myself, and then I realized I was essentially painting the insect in death rather than painting it in life. So,
So, can you
yeah.
explain more about how you try to portray them and the way you like to paint them, and what's different about the way you approach this?
It's challenging. I think a lot of New Zealand's insects are fairly unknown, and taking photos of insects is really difficult. They move really fast, they're small. So I'm really indebted to a couple of photographers, Danilo Hegg in particular, and I think Rod Morris let me use a painting photo as well. So I normally shop around for images. You have to be quite careful that you're not breaching copyright. So iNaturalist is an incredible resource for people wanting to paint more obscure things. So I'd look around for a few different images showing different kind of angles of the insect. I really like the ones where the insect is almost looking at you, and where you're at its level, rather than looking down on it.
It's not just the images that are interesting with respect to the portrayal of the insect. It's also the way we speak in language, creepy crawlies, for example. And does language impact perhaps the way we think or reinforce the way some people think about them?
Oh, I think undoubtedly. Yeah. I was just trying to find a quote for you actually, but I think that the synonyms that we use for bug or insect are quite telling. And I like one of my favorite things about compiling the book was the quotes that I found through the centuries about insects. They just seem to be the source of wealth in terms of incredible quotes. So in Merriam-Webster, the synonyms for the word insect include half pint, insignificancy, lightweight, morsel, non-entity, nothing, pipsqueak, snipper snapper, twerp, and zero. So yeah, I think that says it all really. And different insects have been used in some quite sinister ways throughout history as well. So you've got the use of the word cockroach, and lice and fleas, to really denigrate different human groups throughout history as well. And I think that speaks to our own attitudes to insects and, how we approach them.
The dehumanisation of the human, but then the examples that are used to try and do that dehumanisation. It is
Yeah,
your
it's quite
point.
shocking.
It is. Part of your book's dedicated to the six-legged ghosts, and who are they?
Well, I wish we knew. That's kind of the point a little bit, is that there's estimates that we might have lost somewhere around 44,000 species of insect in recent times, but we ha really only have records for a really small handful of those. So I won't quote numbers because I'll probably get them wrong, but yeah, so they're kind of the silent vanishing that's happening, and part of that is to do with the fact that we're fairly certain we haven't named them all. Science hasn't given names to a large proportion of the world's insects, and so I was really aware that there were a couple of species in the media in Aotearoa that we were talking about as having gone extinct in the past 5 years. But for me, I felt like that was likely the tip of the iceberg, because if you look at the bird species that have gone extinct over the past several hundred years, and you kind of balance that out with how many insects there are and how many habitats have been destroyed, then it seems very likely that there are a lot of six-legged ghosts. So that's one take on it. And the other take on the title is that I think insects are kind of the 99% in the sense that They do so much for us in our world, and they keep things ticking along, and we don't give them a lot of credit. So, they're ghosts in the ecosystems, in that sense as well.
You had a go at painting an insect that had gone extinct and which we know little about. Where did you start with that process?
Yeah, that one was really tricky. That insect, Mechidema punctellum, is only found, well, was only found on Takapōrewa, Stephens Island, which is right at the tip of the Marlborough Sounds. And yeah, it went extinct a long time ago, around 100 years ago. And so there really weren't any photographs of it. I kind of collated a lot of photos of other Mechidema species. We have a lot of dark, rather drab ground beetles in New Zealand. And so I kind of smashed them all together, talked to a couple of experts, and came up with a close version of what I thought it would look like. And I tried to put some thought into what its life would have been like in the ecosystem. It would have been on the forest floor, scuttling around their predatory. So it would have been on the hunt for other little bugs or, yeah, worms and things.
You were talking earlier about the role they play in the ecosystem, and we many conservationists, environmentalists have mixed feelings about the use of the term services, nature's services. That said, there's no doubt insects provide them. And what surprised you about just some of the roles they play that are pivotal to life on Earth?
Yeah, I think one of the most surprising things for me, don't get me wrong, I love a bee, but the honeybee is an introduced species here. And so a lot of our plants actually evolved with different pollinators from other insect orders. So flies are a popular pollinator for a lot of small white flowers. So yeah, I found the pollinators quite fascinating, especially in a New Zealand context. And I often get this image in my mind of maybe what the world would look like if bugs weren't out there breaking things down.
Yes, good
They're
point.
not the only
Including
ones doing it.
flies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because flies really can be quite challenging. I do love insects now, but that doesn't mean that I love having cluster flies or something coming into my house. So yeah, it does, but it does help. It does help to understand, okay, these things are playing a role. If they weren't here, we really wouldn't like it much. So yeah, I think that detritivores, the things that break things down, and cockroaches. So a lot of our native cockroaches are playing that role in the forest ecosystem, and they're just not interested in coming inside the house. So yeah, I think cockroaches get a pretty bad rap, but they do a pretty amazing service. Yeah, again, that word service, it is, yeah, it's challenging, but I think you've got to use all the tools when you're trying to convert people as well. So
And with respect to that, who's this book for, do you think? Because there is that sort of challenge of people often carrying that sense of yuck from childhood or whatever. Who's this aimed at in terms of trying to win some converts?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wonder if every author would just want to think it was aimed to everyone, but I understand there will be some people who won't want to go there. But I think people who are interested in the natural world, but maybe haven't quite delved into insects yet. I think fungi's having a real moment right now. But if you'd spoken to a mycologist a few years ago, they would have said that fungi was pretty overlooked. So I think there's a lot of hope. And I think by and large, New Zealanders are really interested in the natural world. We're proud of our unique environment. So I would hope that it's going to grab those people and just make them think a little bit more about some of the other creatures that we share the country with.
Thank you, Lily. Lily Duval, who is an artist and whose book Six-Legged Ghosts pays homage to the many living bugs and insects and also the many that have quietly gone extinct, illustrated with their own watercolour paintings.